You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 3, Episode 12, Helpless. As Buffy's 18th birthday approaches, she loses her Slayer powers just as she must go up against a crazed vampire who has kidnapped her mother. Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Chris.
Yay!
Hey, hello, Chris. Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Therapist.
Yes. Therapist.
Not the rapist.
Sounds like SNL.
Yeah, or Arrested Development. Alrighty. So, it's been a while.
It has.
Seems like it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been away for work, and we almost managed to put out an episode every single time, but the last episode that was released was actually a re-release of our Episode Zero, our How You Doin' podcast. So we introduced ourselves, and for some reason I decided to declare that I had just built a deck. A mighty fine deck it is, if I do say so myself. So, yeah.
I was Helpless. Just listening to you, Illyrio, on the Twin Peaks podcast, the Twin Peaks cast.
Yes.
They do a great job. I'm
they
enjoying it.
A very good job. Now, I'm a little disappointed they didn't name the show as I had suggested, which is James is a Douche Cast. But that's okay.
It's not that bad.
Oh, James.
Oh, James.
Yeah. So are you enjoying the Twin Peaks?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, it's still my all-time favorite show ever.
I just hope the weirdness isn't just for weirdness sake. I hope there's a point to the weirdness.
I would say there is a point for the weirdness.
Okay.
I would say
sweet.
So. I would say so. All right. So.
Well, happy birthday, Buffy.
Happy birthday, Buffy. Oh, man. Just awful. The poor Buffy. It really is just one of those situations where,
just
I think I'll read from Missy's email. Happy 18th birthday, Buffy! And she has a little face with a noisemaker. She really should have learned from her 17th. Parties in Buffy's honor inevitably go haywire. We finally see the all-powerful Watchers Council. They put Buffy through a cruciamentum Latin torment torture test and use Giles to do it. Innocence and Passion, this has the most heartbreaking Giles Buffy scenes, though it will be topped. Ooh.
Spoiler.
Is someone recording the podcast from the top of their Harley? Or okay. Zachary Kralik is one batshit crazy vamp. If there was ever going to be a rival for Drew, he's it. I, like Buffy, don't enjoy seeing her powerless. But Angel is right, she'll never just be a girl. She'll always be Buffy. Hank Summers is a jackass, standing his daughter up like that. God love Willow's freak out over Giles being fired. Her unemployment comment is even funnier when, well, for spoiler's sake, I can't say when. Sorry. Surprisingly, this ep is full of great quotes that I'm sure you'll all point out so I won't ruin the fun. Mm-hmm. Owen, from this moment on, we're barreling towards an epic season 3 finale. Seriously, no bad episode from this point on, in my opinion, though it took a few rewatches for me to enjoy the next one. Maybe one quote, eh? I won't read it. I won't read it, Missy, I'm sorry. From Missy, expect a few more email in the coming weeks. What can I say? Season 3 rocks. Thank you, Missy.
Thank you, Missy.
Thank you.
You know what doesn't rock?
What doesn't rock?
What?
Willow's wool cap.
You don't like the wool cap?
No!
Really?
Aren't they in Sunnydale? Why is she wearing a toque?
Well, because people get acclimatized to different climates, and what may be extraordinarily warm for someone who's acclimatized to, 50 below.
It was cable knit, and it was yellow and pink. Everything was just wrong. Pink skirt, mustard yellow tights. Willow, what are you doing?
She's I think being that's Willow.
Worse. It's worse than the overall of shame.
But, you know, I heard on a commentary, I think Josh said that, or I read something that Josh said that the network wanted Willow to dress more like Buffy, but no, he fought him because this was her character. Mm-hmm. He's building a character with her wardrobe.
Well, okay, I'll accept that.
Okay. Yeah, for Harley being in the episode at all, I think that's what I remember most about Willow, is her outfit, which isn't something I think that they were going for.
Would you have felt better if she was wearing the smiley face fuzzy backpack again?
Better than the hat.
The hat was horrible.
I have no, it's just distracting.
Maybe, I thought the hat was cute.
Maybe I'm biased.
It was very distracting because I wasn't listening biased to what Buffy and her were talking about.
Aww. Oh my god.
That's very distracting.
Wow.
Let's see if Shelley thought the hat was distracting. Hi, Gaxon, guesty person of the week. Dark, eerie, and brilliantly acted. This episode brings to mind one of the things I love about Buffy. No character is ever safe, and even characters that you love can do something that literally makes you cringe. Earlier in season 3, we began to see that Giles had a dark past, and here we see his darker side coming to the surface. Sure, he was just following orders, but he's been known to break the rules before where Buffy is concerned. Slayer Handbook, anyone? This is an intense, emotionally charged episode which does have a few sodding plot holes. I mean, a vampire addicted to painkillers. But I can ignore those things done for the sake of the storyline because we get so much great character development here. I think this episode really fits what's becoming apparent as a big theme for this season. It's the last year of high school, and the future is uncertain. I love that in The Wish, we got to see a Buffy-less Sunnydale, and here we got to see Buffy pondering what her life would be like without her Slayer powers. Powerful and emotional. By the way, I've given it trying to guess Lirio's song choices, and the ones for Gingerbread were fabulous, and thank goodness for the SoundHound app. I can now know exactly what I'm listening to, because some of these songs are after my time. Love you guys, Shelley. Thank you, Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley.
And thank you, Shelley, for the large type, because
yes,
I
the
can
large
see
type
that
is fantastic. Yes. We're no spring chickens.
Right. I have burned my eyes with computers.
Who wants to read Taryn Miller's email about Helpless?
Oh, before I do that, I have a question.
Yeah, please.
Is Faith older than Buffy?
I don't know. I always thought so, but since she didn't have to do this thing, or we haven't heard about it, or maybe she passed hers.
I'm wondering if she passed hers. Is this clarified, Steph,
later on?
They have discussed this on, what was it, Chris? The Watcher cast. They assumed that Faith was older, but no, I think Faith is younger because Buffy will say things like my little sister, or either Faith will say my big sis.
Really?
I think Faith is younger, even though from her life experiences, she sounds like she's older, mm-hmm. But I think she's making a lot of that up.
Oh.
What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I always assumed that Faith was younger. I mean, it may just be because of how long Buffy has been Slayer. But I think Faith also just appears older just because she's not going to high school as well. Uh-huh. She's just kind of living in a motel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. This is true.
But I think with the references, with Big Sis and Little Sis, I believe that it appears that Faith is younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although we haven't seen any of that yet. Any of those referencing that I can remember.
No.
Who wants to read Taryn Miller's email?
All right, I will.
Awesome.
Hello, Gax and guest. So this is one of my very favorite episodes of Buffy. It gets a 10 out of 10 for me.
What?
Some interest. What is that?
What is that?
Some interesting information about this episode. The idea came from David Fury wanting to do an episode where Giles gets fired. Also, Zachary Kralik is the name of David Fury's nephew. Well, what everybody thinks of his nephew. Anyway, this is an episode that terrifies me, infuriates me, and makes me downright giddy. I hate watching the part where those vampires chase Buffy when she's trying to walk home.
Mm-hmm.
I love how a situation that is normally so easy for Buffy, and therefore the audience, becomes one of the scariest scenes we've ever seen. And when she's screaming for help, something that we never see Buffy do. I get chills. Side note, those two guys were literally 20 feet away. Why didn't they come to her rescue? You remember? Anyways, every time I watch this, I get so frustrated with the Watchers Council. How many Slayers have died because of their stupid test? I can think of a million better ways to improve a Slayer. And I get so mad at Hank Summers. What kind of creep ditches their daughter on their 18th birthday? I don't buy his excuse of not being able to get off work. And the Buffy Giles interaction is what makes this episode. I love how Giles is her father in every way that matters. I love their dialogue. I'm tempted to quote the whole scene, but I know that if I do, I will steal someone's quote. And I love the scene where Giles gets fired. My absolute favorite part of this episode is where Travers tells Giles that he has a father's love for Buffy, and Giles doesn't even attempt to deny it. And when he takes the cloth from Buffy and starts cleaning up the cut on her forehead, of course, the part where Xander can't open the jar for Buffy is great, too. Anyway, I hope you all love this episode as much as I do, but if you don't, that's okay, too. There are plenty more good episodes left in this season. Actually, I think the rest of the season... the rest of the episode in this season all deserve 10 out of 10. Can you see why season 3 is a lot of people's favorite yet? From Taryn.
Thank you, Taryn.
Thank you, Taryn.
Thank you,
Taryn.
Thank you.
All right. How about we intermix with a little bit of feedback from the Facebook group?
Yay!
Lisa Gomez says, Helpless is absolutely incredible. So many metaphors, it really makes the audience analyze how complex these characters really are.
Agreed.
Taylor Dole, Buffy should just ignore her birthday. Yes. Allie Jones mentions, I think this one is exciting. Creeps me out real thoroughly. Keeps the audience on their toes. Every scene with Giles and Buffy gets me emotional. I love Buffy's red hoodie that gets used by the big bad vampire to trick her mother. They're kind of in love with fairy tales this season, aren't they?
Yes.
Oh.
Karen Schultz, Helpless is a very powerful episode and one of the creepiest of the season. Game changer in Buffy's relationship with Giles and kind of makes them more on even footing on needing to forgive each other. My only complaint with it is that I would have liked to have seen Faith's turn at the challenge too. When does she turn 18? Where is she through all this? Seemed to have forgotten her, as it would not have been the same story at all if she was around.
I'm wondering if it was an afterthought.
Maybe. Jesse Wooten mentions, you know, although Helpless is one of my least favorites for the season, it's a pretty good episode. And she mentions something about the Zeppo. But now we're not talking about the Zeppo just yet. Katrina Chapman Khan says, the vampire in Helpless really freaks me out. Val Pass, it wasn't until I watched this episode with my niece one night, with all the lights turned out, that I realized those scenes in the boarding house were damn creepy. Seeing people walking around in any dark area always gets me on edge because I'm anticipating someone jumping out. Did Kralik buy out all the Polaroid film in Sunnydale? Because that sure was a lot of Joyce photos on the wall. The return of the overalls!
Yes.
I've always called them the overalls of sadness instead of shame because you know something bad or sad usually happens to her when she's wearing them. I really love the Buffy Giles scenes, mainly the part where Buffy finds out what Giles has been doing to her and she flips out. Uh-huh. She was so hurt and felt deceived. Loved when she throws the box at him. I love that as well, Val. Giles looked crushed. But the last scene where he's taking care of her head wound is so sweet. Makeup department did a nice job making the wound look good. So, did you guys really think Giles was up to no good or evil when you first saw him injecting Buffy? Let's discuss that, shall we?
No, not for a second.
You didn't think so?
Nope.
I don't know. My note here is, what the fuck is Giles doing?
Because at first I thought when he was injecting her with the stuff, I thought he was trying to protect her from something.
I don't know, man.
You didn't tie it into her weakness?
Sorry?
You didn't tie it in with her becoming weak?
Yeah, I did, but I thought it was... Giles was protecting her in a sense that making her weak, therefore she wouldn't be available to fight some sort of big, huge creature that was coming that he knew about.
That he wanted to protect her from? He wanted to, like, someone's coming from the Slayer. Because the thing is, the way they ordered the scenes, like, we didn't know those guys were part of the council, so we thought maybe they were just after the Slayer, right? Mm-hmm. Like, early on. Mm-hmm. And if Giles was making it hard to detect who the Slayer was, then maybe that would be protecting her.
Yes.
But I don't know. It was really, really creepy. It was very, very creepy. Can I just say that at the very beginning, we see a picnic setting, and Buffy and Angel are pretending to fight, and she grabs a baguette and uses it as a pretend steak. You know what? You leave that baguette out in the open for 2 days, it is a deadly weapon. Those things get very stale very fast. So you have to be careful about that. And that, I saw Giles with all those crystals, and like, was Giles all into geodes or something? Because we'd never seen that before. It just struck me as odd. Mm-hmm. How was that going to help her out?
I don't know, but the way that she was stroking that one crystal was a little unsettling.
Yes, it was fantastic. She had a lot, and she was discussing a lot about, you know, like a lot of pent up energy that she had. Because, you know, she and Angel can't.
Maybe she, yeah. She was definitely thinking of a special little someone in her life. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah. And what did you guys think when Buffy started losing her mojo during that fight with the vampire?
I thought something was odd in Sunnydale.
Mm-hmm. It was really weird.
Mm-hmm. It was really weird.
More examples of Buffy losing her mojo. They really wanted to get us to notice. Like when she comes to Cordelia's defense.
Yeah.
Then Cordy comes to her defense.
And she gets thrown away. She gets tossed. Yeah. And here I have Ice is cool.
No, don't say the rest of that quote.
I won't. But apparently it is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Quite something, let me tell you. Yeah,
I don't know. I have a question about that. Yes. Now, I don't recall. No, she said that she goes, they do that every year. I don't remember her getting blown off for the ice capades the year before.
I have that in my notes too.
Yeah, I don't remember that necessarily being a reoccurring thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
SOD.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, yeah, because she was a little too busy last year.
She had cupcakes with mommy, but that's about it.
And she made somebody lose their soul.
Mm-hmm. Buffy's dad disappoints.
Again.
I didn't realize he was such a deadbeat.
Well,
I think he's a deadbeat.
Well, that's deadbeat-ish.
I think he's changing. Like, he's getting used to the idea of being a single guy or something. You know what I mean? I think that something's going on with him, and he's not going to be the attentive dad that he was.
That's stupid.
Out of sight, out of mind.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Like, if I only saw my kid every once in a while, and I told her I was going to see her, mm-hmm. I'm going to cancel?
But it's so true. On the 18th birthday, that's a big birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it looks like Buffy's one nightmare from Nightmares is coming true with her dad.
Oh.
Yeah, you're right.
Way back in season one.
And her dad not loving her. Thinking that she's just a burden. This awful, awful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone else creeped out by the Buffy and Angel scenes?
Yeah.
I'm finding them tiresome. I find them tiresome. I don't necessarily find them creepy, but I find them tiresome.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I think they've learned that they shouldn't tempt each other. They need to stay away from each other. I thought we covered that in the past couple episodes.
And when he does that whole speech about, I saw you before you were a Slayer, and I'm
Oh my god, where's that in my notes?
I'm like, wait a second, yes. so you fell in love with her when she was 15?
Angel admits his stalker past. I half expected Chris Hansen to come out. Hey, Angel, why don't you have a seat here? So, you like to look at young girls outside school?
Yes.
From a dark car?
And how old are you?
What do you think was going to happen here, Angel? What do you think was going to happen here?
Mm-hmm. I think it was kind of funny that they're poking fun at themselves when they're saying, when Buffy had her quote right before that scene ended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it in case it's someone's quote, but yeah, I just, every time I see them, it just feels weird watching them and how they interact, and when they get all melodramatic and they're just staring at each other, I'm like, okay, guys, we get it.
So are you saying you don't necessarily buy their love?
Oh, I buy their love. It's just so annoying. It really is annoying.
It's like ham-fisted.
Yes. Like,
they love each other. Remember, like, they can't be together.
I know. They're just like beating it over the head.
I mean, were TV audiences that stupid that they would forget that?
Well, I know it's because everyone wants to be Buffy, and David Boreanaz is so dreamy. They want to be Buffy, so they want to see them together as much as possible.
I didn't get the memo about David Boreanaz being dreamy.
Wait a minute. He's dreamy?
He's dreamy. He's very dreamy.
All right. But okay. I guess he is dreamy. Oh, I just got the instant message. Yes. Note, David Boreanaz is dreamy. Let's move on. So, Giles is in on the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I was not expecting to see Giles walk into that really poorly lit house.
So did that make you feel comforted when he first met up with Quentin Travers?
I thought maybe he was like up to no good. And then I find out this whole idiotic plan.
Because I thought that Giles was trying to protect her, I just felt it weird that he, now knowing what we know now, is that he was doing it to put her into danger. That's what felt weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To me, that was so un-Giles-esque.
So weird.
Mm-hmm. But he's got a job to do, too, so sometimes there are some parts of your job that you don't like, but you do it anyway.
I suppose. Yeah, that was just weird. And my note when we first saw Krellig was, is that the vampire Hannibal Lecter?
Yes.
He does not like mothers.
No.
No.
Yeah. And we have a kryptonite discussion in the library.
Yes!
Interesting.
Red and blue and green.
Yeah, you know, up until now, the series has been free of these pop culture references.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like a sign of the time? When did we Community and all these shows that are very referencing and, you know what I mean? When did this start?
I don't know, but it was interesting to see that, because then, I mean, I'll save it for next week, but it's not the only time there's going to be Superman talk.
Yes, I have the same point as well.
Because I'm used to seeing it in things these days, but up until now in Buffy, there hasn't been a lot of that.
And they didn't mention the kryptonite that has nicotine in it that makes Superman into a surly drunk. That's what I learned from Superman 3 with Richard Pryor.
Well, I think they have had references in, but they've been more dated references, probably based upon who the writers are. They're using their references as opposed to the audience at that point. I mean, just like the previous episode, they did have a Mr. Rogers reference.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that time, Superman would have been dated, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, Joss being a big comic book nerd.
Oh, I see.
Maybe what's his name who wrote, or her name, Who?
David Fury.
Yeah, so with a name like David Fury, he's got to be into comic books. I wonder if he has a brother, Nick.
Oh, David Fury's going to write on Fringe next season.
Ooh, I should probably start watching that show.
Fringe is great.
Yes.
You got to find the time, and with two children and work and podcasting.
Excuses, Illyrio.
Unacceptable. Hashtag unacceptable.
How far before Buffy was Lois and Clark, the new Avengers?
Oh, true. Yeah. I keep forgetting about that show.
Because that was mid-90s.
Oh, Terry Hatcher.
Dean Cain.
'93 to '97.
Oh, you beat me.
Not that far before.
1997. And they're spectacular.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was her best role on Seinfeld.
I want a Seinfeld reference count for potential cast.
No problem.
Okay,
if I reference Seinfeld, drink. I must have been really out of it one night, because on my time away this week, I had a dream that I was on top of a bus on the Vegas Strip, and Jason Alexander was wearing nothing but swim trunks and doing backflips on a moving bus. I follow him on Twitter. I told him this. I think he may have blocked me. Whatever. Just the way it goes, man. I've way too many times on a plane.
Yes.
It's like I'm losing my nerve for turbulence. I never thought this would happen, but I'm really losing my nerve for turbulence. And just, there shouldn't be turbulence when you're 10 feet away from the runway.
No.
There shouldn't be. And anyway, I'm digressing again. We need to move on.
You know what the funniest part of the episode to me? Mm-hmm. It was more of a visual gag. I know what it's meant for, but when Buffy's going to fight the vampire and she has that bottle of holy water that just has a big cross on it, I love that. And it made two appearances, and I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean.
Yeah, so I think Krillik got some acid reflux there.
Yeah.
When he was taking those pills at the beginning, I thought they were pills to make him stronger.
Oh my god,
so
me
that
too.
When he would fight Buffy, he'd be like.
He's just nutty.
Yeah, that's.
Even like migraine pills or something.
Just weird.
They're like the Advils with the black writing on them. That's how they are. Take one, no more. Council schmouncel.
So I'm guessing the point of the episode, or one of the points as well, is that Buffy doesn't need to be strong to defend herself. She can use her brain to figure things out.
Yeah.
I thought the point of the episode was, why do vampires feel compelled to confide things in Joyce? So Spike just, blurts everything out about Drew, and now this guy who's captured her is just talking about his mom and this and how his upbringing. Really, guy? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Cordelia. When she walks in and doesn't realize the context of the conversation. Did something take her memory away?
That's Giles.
Giles.
Hey, that was a quote.
Oops.
Sorry.
I apologize. You'll be able to go first. Giles rescues Buffy just in time to show her she shouldn't trust him.
Yes.
And, okay. Overalls
Yes.
The overalls went through a progression as follows. Overalls of shameful fight scene.
Uh-huh.
Overalls of lost mojo. Overalls of creepy Polaroid room. Overalls of stolen pills. Overalls of quick thinking.
Overalls of quick thinking.
Those are what the overalls. Yeah, because if she wasn't wearing those overalls, how is she going to pocket that holy water?
So they were a plot device.
They were a plot device this time. Giles is fired.
So does this mean that we're going to potentially see Buffy get a new watcher?
I'm almost guaranteed we're going to see a new watcher because I think I may have walked into Christine watching an episode in the future.
But
she had paused it, and all I saw was someone looking at Buffy who looked watcher-like. So I'm going to venture a guess that, yeah, she gets a new watcher, but we'll see. Do you want to know the score, Kim? Do you want
to
know
the score? Thanks, I'm good.
Do you want to know the point differential?
No.
Do you want to know what the sum of the score is?
No.
Okay.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. Why didn't Buffy stake the vamp after she knocked the bookcase over on him and beat him? She just left him in there. And then he came after her, and then Giles ended up rescuing her from that vamp. She just left him there. She didn't stake him.
Weird.
Maybe her mental acuity.
She had the whole bag of stakes.
Oh, that's right. She had the bag. Maybe, I don't know, S.O.D.
I don't know. It's kind of like, did anyone else notice that without her Slayer powers, Buffy runs a bit like Phoebe Buffay? Was I the only one that noticed that?
I didn't notice that at all, but Phoebe Buffay did wear lots of overalls.
She runs wildly.
Yeah. I always thought her sister, Ursula, was much nicer.
She's one hell of a waitress.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't she?
Very good with scissors and a credit card.
So, Illyrio, Joyce slots this episode?
When there is a ring at the door, and you open the door, and you don't see anyone, and you're aware that vampires are real, stay in the house.
Be inside.
Where they can't go inside unless you invite them. Stupid move, Joyce.
But she thought, didn't she think that was Buffy laying on the ground, though?
But she wouldn't have noticed if she had stayed inside the house. She should have just stayed inside the house.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for these people to get cell phones.
I do have two notes on Joyce. This time around, she did want to go and put the gallery on hold to take Buffy to the ice show.
She did. You're right. Oh, my goodness.
And also, she was super proud of her at the very end.
She was.
Yes, this is true. Maybe she learned a little something from trying to burn her daughter at the stake the week before.
That scene with the Polaroids, you've touched on it before. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was very so creepy, cool. Very so effective.
Creepy.
Let's just suspend our disbelief on where he got all that film.
Yeah.
Oh, did y'all recognize the guy from Star Trek Enterprise?
I never got to watch that one.
Yeah, it's all right.
Is that who the vampire was?
Yeah, the one that he turned into a vampire, not the one that they killed.
No, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, Enterprise is the one with the rock ballad for the theme song.
The Calling?
I don't know.
It's the one with Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap.
Yes.
Yes, and he's terribly miscast.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did anyone catch that Mr. Pointy was bronzed?
No, where?
Yes. In the Slayer's old age home.
At the beginning, Buffy was rattling a whole bunch of things off, and then she kind of slipped in there that she had her favorite steak, Mr. Pointy, bronzed.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet.
Wasn't that Kendra's steak?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
I took it more as a joke that her rattling off about kind of like how they have old people talking about all their memories bronzed, that she'd have it bronzed later.
That's what I thought.
Still funny.
Yeah, definitely.
Was I the only one that cried at the end?
I did not.
I bawled like a baby when
Jazz was cleaning her up.
Yes.
Yeah. It was cute.
I love them. Mm-hmm. They're so cute.
I believe that is my favorite part. My favorite aspect of the whole series is Giles and Buffy's relationship, his fatherly relationship to her. That's what makes me cry the most.
Mm-hmm. But it's so heartbreaking when they're studying and she's just like, well, you know, if someone wanted to take someone to an ice show.
His daughter or his student or his slayer.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, Buffy.
I thought that was so cute because I remember beating too. Around the bush like that.
Yeah.
Aww.
Now, not to take anyone's quote, but what did anyone think about Buffy's statement to him when she's told him not to touch her and said about, if you touch me, I'll kill you?
Hmm.
Yeah, well, I could tell she's upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I didn't really take it as she would actually do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he turned into a demon.
Yeah.
Or but a
even robot. Even if he turned into a demon, she couldn't kill him, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
She killed Angel, her boyfriend.
Yeah, but that how long did it take her to do that?
I don't know.
How many
pretty
times
quick.
Did she have to kill him?
It's a pretty quick sword. Oh, you mean to warm up to the idea. Yeah,
yes.
I see.
Just found in context, that was exceptionally strong, though.
Yes. And I'm glad that it's not like a creepy father-daughter relationship.
Yeah, it doesn't at all feel creepy. You're totally right. It would have potential for that, maybe in other situations, but it's not at all, like, I'm not at all creeped out by Giles and Buffy and their closeness and how they rely on each other. Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, it almost feels completely natural to me, like he could very well be. I mean, it's just, I love their relationship. It's my favorite. It's one of my favorite things about the series.
It's funny because we were talking about this the other night. A couple of my friends from high school, we were having dinner and we would always talk about there was this always one teacher that was so creepy that during lunch breaks or free periods or whatnot, he would always have girls in his personal office. And it was just so creepy and uncalled for. And then I even said, well, what about, did anyone ever watch Buffy? And then we were talking about Giles and Buffy. And I even said, I'm like, that's not creepy. But it could have been. But I'm glad that this show isn't like that.
Well, I forget who said it, but in an early podcast, someone was making comment about how creepy it was about Giles and how close in proximity he would stand close to her.
I think it was back in
season one.
Yeah, it was in Welcome to the Hellmouth. In the commentary, Joss would say he was constantly telling Anthony to step back, that it was just too creepy for a teacher to be that close to a student.
I think I probably mentioned that in an earlier podcast, but now it's just natural, you know, because we know more about them. But on first glimpse, it would be, ooh, okay.
But I think why it's not creepy is just like how much Giles cares for Buffy when he will go against the Watcher Council.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He'll risk his job for her.
I think it's also easy for us to not think he's creeping us out because he's out of touch and he's not trying to ingratiate himself with Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He takes Buffy as she is and he finds her petulant and difficult. You know, like, she's a bit of a thorn in his side and that's not the least bit creepy. That's being a parent.
Right.
And also, I like that Sarah Michelle Gellar and Allison Hannigan, they look 16. They look 17, 18. Mm-hmm. They don't look 32 trying to be a high school student.
I kind of feel bad that Giles keeps walking in on dead people.
Yeah, it's a thing.
That's his thing. That's his thing. Everyone needs a thing.
Everyone does. All right. How do we do this? We do the ratings.
Oh, yeah.
And then after the ratings, we tell people how they can reach us. And then we do some bra watch. And then we do quotes. Mm-hmm. So, unless anybody has any other points, shall we rate the episode?
Let's rate it.
Sure. All
right. Guess first.
Ooh.
All right. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 ice shows.
I remember going to ice shows back about that time and seeing Nancy Kerrigan. No, maybe
Why?
That was the name.
Why?
He said it at the same
Why?
Time.
The only ice show I remember.
Did my brother kill my father?
I didn't go with my father. My father would be caught dead in the ice show.
Was he a member of the order of whatever it was?
Aurelius.
Whatever it was.
The only ice show I went to as a kid was Ewoks on Ice,
actually. Are you serious?
That just sounds
awesome.
So
the
wrong.
Ewok cartoon.
Ewoks are bad enough.
Oh my god, I totally want to see that.
The Ewok cartoon was awesome, but there were too many repeats. Pissed me off. That's the one thing about being a kid and not understanding how TV works necessarily. Like, I watched this one last week. Why? Are they playing it again?
But, well, see, most kids like to see the same thing over and over.
I couldn't stand it. If I've seen it once, I don't need to see it again.
Just, you know,
I think, the story, please.
I think there's only like 5 episodes of Hannah Montana.
That's why Blue's Clues has the same episode
about
every
being
day.
In hotels.
Yes, Blue's Clues. There's
worst
only
thing about
six
being
of them.
In different hotels over 5 weeks is the fact that you don't know where all the channels are you want to avoid, and you always stumble upon the Hannah Montana. Just always. Ugh. Just. Ugh. I had to take a shower each time. It was awful. Anyway. So. Who wants to go next?
I'll go. I would give it... I love this episode. I'll give it 9 out of 10 Big Bad Wolves.
Mm. I really like this episode, too. It had a lot of character development, I think. Mm-hmm. I will give it 9 bottles of holy water out of 10.
Nice.
This episode was absolutely one of my favorites, especially when Buffy missed throwing the box of organic compound at Giles.
Yes.
I give it 9 out of 10 angry letters.
Nice. I'm going to give this episode 8 out of 10 syringes. It was great. I really felt like they overdid the... Buffy's losing her powers.
Yeah.
Buffy's losing her powers.
It got old.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but that really bothered me. Yeah. I also felt the whole, you know, vampire Hannibal Lecter thing was a little bit over the top.
Uh-huh.
But I loved everything else. I thought it was very cool. Those Polaroids were really very creepy.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I think
this one does... I think it's one of the only true horror episodes in Buffy. I mean, one of the few. I mean, it's more of a genre mm-hmm. action-adventure comedy series, but this is a true horror episode.
Mm.
That's a good point.
Loved it.
It's a good thing she could fit in that laundry chute. that's what we thought about it, folks. If you want to let us know, call us at 270-40-BUFFY. Feel free to, when you leave us a message, talk about Buffy somehow and not just tell us creepy things about not wearing pants.
Not wearing pants,
You don't have to be sober to call, but, you know, feel free to maybe call us about the show. You can write us an email at...
PotentialCast@gmail.com. Or even before you drink, write down what you want to say, then call us.
Yes, good idea. you could also go to PotentialCast.com, which is where we release the show, have show notes, have links there to subscribe via iTunes or download directly if you choose. But, you know, as we say every week, the fun is on Facebook. At the time of this recording, we have 216 members in our Facebook group. in our Facebook group, and we are having an awesome time. We'll tell you when we're recording, when we want some comments and feedbacks. We got through some of those today. We hope to get through some more next week for the Zeppo. And again, keep it spoiler-free in there. Okay? Awesome. Gabby?
There was only one sighting of Bra Watch in this particular episode. I know. You know, after the treasure trove, no, it was Buffy. White bra, white tank top, white sheer long sleeve top. That's it. That's all I got. Wow.
I think it's time for quotes. We'll let the guest go first, I think.
All right. I got so scared I threw up on Woodstock. Willow going backstage at Snoopy on Ice.
Mm-hmm.
Ice is cool. It's water, but it's not.
Yeah, I had that one down too. Boy.
Illyrio.
Oh. She'll go to sleep, and when she wakes up, your face will be the first thing she eats. I have a problem with mothers. I'm aware of that.
Ew. Willow, can you give me a hand with that? No. With the top of the thing. Oh, I'll make another one.
With the what? I need context. What is it?
At the end, when he needed help with the top of the jar.
Oh, sorry.
I'll get another one. Go, Jeff.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. If I was at full Slayer power, I'd be punning right about now.
Damn it.
Also on my list. How about the one that starts with, so why did you seem happier last year?
Okay, how about this one? How could you do this to me?
Oh.
There.
Well, I think Xander took this out of Ted's playbook, but give you a hand with that little lady?
Yeah, I heard that too. Like, yes.
Well, you know, when Buffy walked up, when Cordelia was having that interaction with the guy that wanted to, you know, that was wondering why she wasn't at the Bronze, Buffy said, I beg to differ.
Yeah.
David Fury must be a fan of Ted.
Ted awesome watch. Episode. We're not having Ted watch. No.
Okay.
What's our homework next week, Steph?
Next week is the Zeppo.
I wonder whatever that means. Thanks for coming on, Chris.
I thought it was about a cigarette again.
I'm sorry, Kim, you were saying?
Oh, sorry, I thought it was about a cigarette lighter.
Yeah, Zippo? Yeah.
Zippo.
That's what I always
expect,
think of.
Did you have to expect Xander to be doing all kinds of, like, tricks?
Yeah.
And, like, trick lighting off his pant leg? And
I was waiting for someone to light it and throw it in a trail of gasoline leading to something.
No. No. Well, no. I'll try this again. Thanks for coming on, Chris.
Sure, thanks again.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
Are you
slated for any other appearances with us in the future?
No, I think everything's all booked.
Oh, man.
Aww.
Crazy.
But you can put me down for any fill-ins.
Yeah, we'll put you on the list.
We have quite an extensive backup list. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks again, Chris.
Sure. Thank you. All right. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
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 And baby, will you say
spring chicken is in Central America, my friends.
What?
It's a very large, large frog.
Yes.
Really? A frog about a foot long with huge legs that could actually stick to walls.
Oh,
and
gross.
I was in Belize in Central America in 1997 doing this archaeology thing. And on the weekends, we'd actually come into town. And one of the houses that they let us stay in actually didn't have any power. And someone had a bath. And the water was draining very, very slowly in the middle of the night. I had to go to the bathroom and, you know, use the facilities. And I heard splashing.
Oh, my Lord.
And I was quite frightened because it was very dark. And all we had was the moonlight coming in the window. And I, for some reason, decided, okay, what's making the splashing? I pulled back the shower curtain. And
oh, Lord.
There was a giant frog hanging, jumping out of the water and onto the wall.
Did you scream? Tell me you did.
No, I did not. I did not, but I went, ah!
I would have screamed.
Just like Xander would have, ah! Right? And in the morning, I was like, yeah, what was that? And one of the guys was like, oh, that's a spring chicken. We call those a spring chicken. I'm like, that's very nice. Could you maybe ask it to leave, please? So that was quite something. Oh, anyway, I digressed again.